Yes, I apologize.
Sowing the seeds of love.
The seeds of love. Sowing the seeds of birds and the bees. Mm-hmm. Politics of...
Et cetera, et cetera.
Freeze.
You watched that video yet?
Ad hoc genus omni. No, I have not. I will watch it later.
That was hilarious.
Was it some internet thing where they took...
Fuck yeah.
What did they do? Did they take John McCain saying
something?
It's
Lonely Island.
Oh.
I guess it's a music video.
T-Pain.
Oh my god.
They have a CD. Their CD either came out finally or
it came out today.
It came out today? Nice. I should pick that up.
It came out yesterday.
It's mostly...
music comes out on
Tuesdays. Tuesdays are
the 11th, right?
Today's the 11th, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it's I was kind of disappointed when I looked at the playlist because half of it's Saturday Night Live stuff. It's not a lot of their old stuff that was fantastic and credit bad raps.
Dude, the boat song's hilarious.
Is it as good as Boats and Hoes? Did you see Step Brothers?
I think I have. Yeah.
Dude, the best part is when he's singing that opera song at the end,
uh-huh.
And every once in a while John C. Reilly interjects
boats
in the hose as he's playing.
Because like it's like
dude,
he doesn't get
this
it.
Is like seriously, it's fucking hilarious.
I will check it out. Shut up.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
It'll be later. Actually, it was really fun at work. I paged someone the other day, and they called me, and I picked up the phone. And he went boats and hose. It was really weird. It was totally random because I hadn't thought about Step Brothers in like months.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, this kid, Tim, the blonde one, the womanizer with the game over abs.
Game over what?
Game over abs. I call him game over.
Why?
Somebody once made a remark that he told some girl, if I pull my shirt off, it's game over. He said that, like, he's totally serious. This kid is the most arrogant, like, he works out a lot. He's a... mixed martial arts
mm-hmm.
person. He's had a couple professional fights now too. But he, the one thing he has in his corner is washerboard abs.
Okay.
And
it's good, important to have if you're going to be punched in the stomach.
Totally. No. Yeah. And he doesn't do it just for, you know, he's very careful with what he eats. Like somebody offered him a Jolly Rancher there today, and he's like, no, I can't do that.
In all honesty, that doesn't take a lot of discipline. Jolly Ranchers are awful.
Oh, they're great. What are you talking about?
Them.
Jolly Ranchers are wonderful. Give me a throw
it's
a blue
like,
on
it's,
my
it's
way.
Like, it's like, hey, you want
remember
something?
Those drinks?
You want
oh
something
gosh,
that tastes,
dude? They taste like Jolly Ranchers.
You want something that tastes like medicine, but doesn't have any medicine in it?
Dude,
delicious
the
medicine. I wish if I could
taste
it. Like the blue raspberry. Oh yeah, it's so good. Those are great.
Something can't.
Anyway,
be
yeah,
that.
He
boats and hoes.
Game over. I call him. Yeah, and he's. He's post girlfriend right now, so
oh PG.
He's currently he's currently courting. I don't want to say courting.
There?
No, every single girl who works there,
oh
he's spending time. He basically does the thing where like if there were more lockers in the store and they were getting their books out of them, he would come and lean by them
mm-hmm.
as they did it and be like, "What's going on?" You know, like that sort of thing.
You kind
of
have to move him along every now and again, keep him.
I have to move him along every now and again. Yeah.
Do you say, hey, game over, let's get, it's game,
game
on. But do you go like, hey, game over, it's game on.
I never say anything.
Do you big time him?
I've
in
never
front
big
of
time
women?
Him, no. I don't have any reason to. He's
yeah,
a mixed
I know,
martial artist with game over abs. What can I big time him about?
The fact that you're his boss?
I'm not really his boss. He doesn't work in my area.
Anyway,
yeah, what's funny is that, like, he's slinging game, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
And he, the thing
what
is,
does that actually do mean? That means you're just talking and like seeming
oh, he's,
interested.
Well, he's talking. He's seeming interested, and he's got game over abs. That's slinging game.
Okay.
He looks like Jonathan Taylor Thomas a little bit, not
mm-hmm.
really, but he once had hair like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so anyway, he dumps his game out there, and it gets politely rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the funniest thing is that
because it's work and people kind
of there's a lot of eye there. Rolling when he approaches a woman. He's like, hey, what's up? You know, something, something. And they're like, yeah, great, Tim. That's great. And, you know, like,
poor guy.
And he's like, all right, see you later. He doesn't do anything that ridiculous, but it's close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, game over. Yeah, right now he has a new girlfriend. But
I thought you said he was post.
He is post girlfriend, but with his new girlfriend.
This is the interstitial
apparently
one.
Apparently they have something going on where she doesn't know that he's also actively attempting to bang five or six other girls.
Well... Maybe he's just a player.
No,
maybe
no.
Maybe you should hate the game.
No.
Hmm?
No, game over.
Game over, it's exactly.
Takes off his shirt, it's game over. I have something to complain about. I watched Samurai Champloo when I was sick.
You ever complain about Samurai Champloo?
So there's 27 episodes.
26.
In this whole series.
Does he ever find his way back?
There's 20... Yeah.
Don't tell me.
That's not Samurai Jack. That's different. There are 52 episodes of Samurai Jack.
And...
One of them is a clip show.
They waste one of them on a clip show.
I know.
Why would you do that?
They do that with Trigun. They do a lot more shows than you think of.
What's a clip show?
Only 20... They just do a review.
Halfway through the series... You have the characters standing around, they're like, hey, remember that time that this happened? And then, piece by piece, you show what happened in each of the episodes leading up to one. And it's a half an hour, like Seinfeld used to do them.
I almost always skip the clip. But yeah, Trigun did a clip show, and...
It's so ridiculous.
A lot of anime shows do a clip. I think...
Considering how long it takes to animate something, why would you waste your time making that?
Here's the thing.
Nobody wants to watch
Considering how long it takes to animate stuff, if you make an episode, it's all constraints. Yeah, I'm not justifying any of it. It sucks. But, in Champloo, it kind of sucks. It basically means it's 25 episodes instead of 26. And it would be great if there was another episode where they had to play baseball or something like that.
Baseball one was fantastic.
I love the baseball one.
That's going to be one of my favorite episodes of any cartoon
I think, ever. Exactly. It just, the guy's just like, fuck them! It's got like the two kinds of subtitles and the dog strike zone.
It was just great comedic writing.
Definitely.
The thing about Monzo the Saw or whatever, when he's in the game and the guy's giving him the signs to bunt, and he just looks over his shoulder and goes... Mm-hmm. And then he slings away again, and he keeps doing that. And then like the guy's like, "Yo, you moron! Like I said, bunt. Seriously, bunt." And he goes, he just does it again. And then he's like, "Aah!" And then the funniest thing was, like, characters that obviously didn't die. It shows them dying, like during the baseball game. Like the baseball game ends because only one player is left alive.
Yeah,
everyone else has like. It shows one of them like fought, like a fat person lands on them.
They're not dead.
And it shows
dead.
A close up of their face. Well, the one guy died.
The old guy died. The old guy died. Everyone else is just like incapacitated.
I was reading a guide later, and it was talking about how the players are all dead, basically. Like the American players aren't because they're all like knocked out and stuff.
Yeah.
But the Japanese players like. They say stuff like, "Oh, you know, I have no regrets." Like the guy who's the coach, he's like, basically they like slide into base, and a big fat American guy would land on them and crush them to death. And then it would like show a close up of their face, and it would turn to black and white with like a picture.
And then it would ding, ding.
Like to indicate that they were dead.
Exactly.
Like this is how he died.
Yes, the baseball episode is fantastic. And what's great about it is that it's just this like ridiculous comedic episode. Then like has like its own little ending. It kind of tells you right at the end. It's like, oh yeah, and then we're gonna end the show now, and it's gonna be cool. And you're like, oh okay, now the show's gonna really end.
Right.
And then it does have an ending that's a super awesome 3-part super violent.
I don't love the ending of it.
It's fun. It's not as intense as. But I mean, come on, you got a sword fight in a church when the guy's got that thing.
I didn't love the church thing. I really wish they had also done. I understand the government. Killer guy,
yeah.
But I wish they had introduced
something more
three
for
psychos
Mugen.
Earlier.
Yeah, I do too. It does
at least once. Like
it is problematic.
10 episodes.
It does
before,
kind of feel
you know?
Forced yeah. and kind of out of nowhere.
That was bothersome.
It's definitely why it's not like in the top rung of anime shows. It's high. It's up there. I love that show. I love some episodes in it.
I think it was very good. Yeah,
but I mean, it's well animated. It's got good comedic timing when it's being funny. And it's got just some great stuff. Like I love it when he just puts that little piece of wood through that guy's hand because he's just not going to take any crap from it. Then cuts that guy's arm off.
I liked in the one which was also one of the more confusing and I thought pointless episodes was when the zombies are excavating.
That one was weird.
It was really
creepy.
Totally pointless. But the funny thing was that is the part where. They find the people in there, and he cuts the guy's arm off, and they go running away.
Uh-huh.
And he walks out there later. Before you know they're zombies, you kind of get the idea because she's like, "Oh, their hands are so cold." But he walks up to the guy, and he's like, "Hey, sorry about that." And he tosses him his arm, and he's like, "Don't worry." He's like, "Don't let it happen again." He like tries to put his arm back on. The guy, like, yeah, it's funny.
It's definitely creepy. That was the third to last episode.
But the funny thing was that like Mugen's own reaction was like. I guess I'll pick up this guy's arm and toss it back to him as an act of goodwill. And he's like, sorry about that, man. And
he throws it at him, right?
Something like that. He just tossed it to him. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's your arm. Sorry.
Or when he's eating the soft-shelled crabs.
Yeah, he just like, chows on it. Like, he's like, these suckers are hard to get into.
You really don't know what you're doing, do you? And the fighting in it is really good, though.
And another thing that, like, it's hard not to compare it to something else where, like, the director obviously is the director of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, you know? That's pretty much all he's done. He co-directed Macross Plus.
Right.
He did this little short for something.
It's hard not to compare that. There's a lot about Shampoo that's fantastic. Its anachronisms are great. The basic overall design of the whole series and, like, the way the story goes is great. But I feel like they left too much. The main characters being Gene and Mugen, they went too far in the realm of trying to keep it mysterious and keep their motivations secret and stuff. And then they get one episode each of, like, past stuff that kind of explains some past stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
but
a little bit.
Still doesn't really explain their motivations. And, like, a few times, like, then in the very last episode, you know,
they kind of throw a lot
kind
of in,
they kind of mention something like, you know, oh, you know, I've only ever fought for myself, and there was nothing to believe in, and
then they all go their own ways at the end anyway.
Yeah,
which I always thought was kind of a weird sort of somber moment where it's
right, like
they
Gene,
all...
like Gene learns something, like that, you know, now he has something to fight. He has people to fight for. Like, he has something important in his
friends
life to
and
fight
stuff,
for
yeah.
That's actually something other than himself. Yeah, now we're friends. Yay, let's bail. And then they all split. You know, like,
yeah,
the biggest turnaround there is that Fu, who has been dreading the end of this journey the whole time, at the very end is like, see you guys, and he skips away, like, happily.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't happen. You know?
Yeah, I know. It is kind of a strange way to end it.
And I also, considering how much they built up that these two guys were very possibly... No, not just that. That didn't mind that at all. I think that's good writing that they don't. They decide they're above it. But the fact that they build up that these guys are pretty much completely unstoppable as fighters in two different forms, and that, you know, there's no one who can beat them, but the person who, you know, they both end up beating the people they probably shouldn't at the end, you know, due to luck as much as, like, you know, Gene figures out a couple of sneaky ways to beat the guy.
Gene has that one last move, the final move.
Well, not only that, but he takes a non-fatal cut to make the guy think he's dead and bail, in their first fight. Which is smart, you know. He got a chance to come back and do the other thing. The getting stabbed move, and Mugen's is pure luck, you know.
Yeah, Mugen just kind of sheer like persistence.
But before that, the blind chick, just annihilates
that was
both. Of
that
them.
Was pure luck. Yeah,
it annihilates both of them, and she lets him beat. It bothers me that she lets him beat.
It bothers him too.
I know it bothers him, but
and then he throws. That's how it ends. It's like the most like intense.
Yeah,
he just is so pissed off.
I just think that Shampoo was really kind of about, you know, it should have been more about that, considering that, like, the finality of everyone's sword fights with each other.
Should have been some kind of a, like, shoujin, almost kind of like, I just want to be the best kind of thing.
I don't know.
I didn't really get that, but I know what you mean. There's no,
not just that I want
to
be the best. It's that I either am or I am not the best, and that defines who I am. And it absolutely defined both of them the whole time, because neither of them believed that anyone would beat them, and they showed it consistently. And you'd think that it being proved that somebody could beat them would bother them to no end and make them question things, and they never really get into that because
they don't really have time.
They do
to,
both get beaten, you know, and
that's true. The blind woman is what you really are referencing, huh? Is that whole? I think that what it does do is it does kind of give you like a sense of okay, there's some serious people after them that are better than them. Like the guy that they send after them at the end, you know, in that beginning of
the
third
guy.
Episode, and they're like, you know, he hasn't used a sword in 20 years because
he hasn't had to.
You're just like, okay, this guy is probably better.
No, and that's fine because I think
takes on both of them at the same time at first, right?
Yeah,
on the
does,
dock,
yeah.
And it's like
I think realistically that one didn't bother me as much as the Mugen one. The Mugen one is like,
yeah, that was the
government guy
kind
of dismisses him as he's fighting. He's like, you know, he immediately tells him after fighting with him for a second, he's like, you know, I see all your weaknesses because you're all instinct, and it leaves you open to what you're not good against. And so he kind of dismisses him. And Mugen's thing was always more interesting because, you know, Gene is the best at form and style, whatever. He's learned this, he's mastered this incredible form or whatever that no one else knows except for the government guy. Mugen, though, being the wild, and they really kind of make Mugen the main, you know, like out of the two, like even in all the things, like in the credits and stuff, mm-hmm. they always put him before Gene and everything.
Yeah.
Like he's the prime character.
He's the crazy bad boy.
Exactly.
Type, yeah.
And he's the one who doesn't give a crap and
yeah.
he doesn't care if he lives or dies for the most part, even though every time he does die, he's like, no, I'm not ready yet. But
well, that'll happen
for what
once,
reason,
yeah.
you know,
exactly.
like for what reason, what does he have to, I don't know.
Who knows?
There's
yeah,
loss,
there's
but,
definitely.
Overall, it's really great, you know?
Definitely.
And Bebop, I think, is better because from Jet's standpoint, he does what he does because you have to do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You have to do something to survive. He found something that he enjoys that he's good
at. He's also so... And they make the point of this in the movie a little, too.
And Spike is doing his just to get to his... You know, he's on a specific journey that he knows...
Sort of. He's avoiding it for the most part.
He avoids it, but he's actively, every time he hears her name, he
yeah,
almost
yeah.
go after her, so like that. You know, he knows that his journey is going to... Is going to
where it's going
to starts
end.
And ends with her, you know? And in this, it's like... They have vague journeys, and
yeah.
their journeys are like, oh, the journey of life.
The
you know,
loosest
like,
thing is basically just that they're binded to her for saving them at the beginning.
And that's very loose.
And
they,
yeah.
and they kind of...
run away from her a bunch of times,
exactly,
but kind
yeah.
of go back. And it's... Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah,
it
Bebop,
is kind
Bebop
of
is just more cohesive. Because it has that structure holding it together, when they... That way, they can safely go away from it, and
yeah.
it's still entertaining.
I think I get
because
you
know in the background what they're after.
I think I agree.
Know,
yeah. That is kind of the problem, is that with Champloo, they go away from it a lot, and it's never really grounded as strongly as it needs to be.
Right.
It's just one of those cases of not having the the through line of the story, you know, not going back to it enough.
yeah.
Even though there's more two-parters and stuff in Champloo,
there's
a hell
there's
of
a lot of
two-parters.
Mostly two-parters, it seems like.
Yeah, they're not usually don't have anything to do with the through line. I mean, the two-parter about Mugen kind of does about his backstory. The two-parter with the blind woman does. But other than that, there's a couple other ones that are just kind of... And there are a lot of episodes that really kind of blend together and are kind of forgettable. I mean, there's the one about the pickpocket where
he... Pickpocket's kind of lame. You know, which one I really liked was the graffiti one.
The graffiti
one was
fun.
Really good.
The
yeah.
reason why I liked that was because it was kind of like Gene was trying to like repay this debt to this guy that had helped him by helping with his sons, and he kind of realized that this was their thing,
right?
And so rather than kind of trying to force them to be different, he kind of got them to be disciplined about this one thing. Plus, it was also where Mugen learned how to read. And
right.
then, so he wrote
that
his name
funny.
Up. Wrote his
I
name
loved
on
that
everything.
Teacher guy. I thought that teacher guy was
yeah,
funny.
He was good.
So furious.
He was so like,
kids,
you can't read.
Kids didn't care about grammar. I like how, like, Mugen would just
him
viciously
and
kill
girl,
people
right?
who stepped him most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, big guy, like, grabs her on the neck and chokes him out, and he just kind of, like, takes it. he lets
yeah.
this guy pick on him.
Oh, the second episode is cool when the big ogre guy is fighting Mugen and
yeah.
he's all poisoned with the midnight mushrooms. Yeah. Or the one night mushrooms.
Right.
Yeah. You've seen that show, right, Blaine?
I haven't watched it all, though.
Well, there's some good stuff at the end, and there's some good stuff at the beginning and the middle.
It's a great series. I really liked it. I thought overall it's one of the better.
it's just like you said. It's like you want to compare it to probably the best
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's hard not to compare it to that just because of the people involved. And
really,
and,
it's only him, though. I know
it's him, but I mean, it's the name thing. Like, you know, when it came out on when it first came out on Adult Swim, they give it to you as from the director of Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
So people be like, oh my gosh, I have to watch it. You know, so. It's married to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot going on. I've been waiting for that guy to do some new show since then, pretty much.
My favorite is still absolutely Satoshi Kon. I love...
But all he ever did was Paranoid Agent, and then he did a couple movies. He did Tokyo Great Godfathers and...
Deep Blue, whatever it's called.
Perfect Blue
is awesome.
I haven't
it's one
seen
of my
that
favorite.
Yet. I've got to check that out at some point.
It's just a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
It's masterful. If it was a live-action psychological thriller, it'd be perfect. I remember thinking it weird because I remember years and years ago, Siskel and Ebert reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's super weird that they're reviewing this movie. Like, I don't even know if it was released in America, but they reviewed it for some reason. And they were both like, this is brilliant. It is like one of the best psychological thrillers ever made. And it just so happens to be an anime.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And I love Paranoid Agent. It's the kind of like mind trip.
It's definitely a weird one.
Yeah, and it's like, I love things where like the whole world is kind of affected and you don't know why, and at the very end you find out and it's like so unbelievable, but it's just like retarded. It's awesome. I love it. Have you heard where Lost is going?
I haven't seen any of the new season.
I don't ever watch the show. I've seen a couple episodes. I don't spoil.
I'll actually watch the show. I'll catch up on
it. They're explaining what's going on now, and it is psycho. It is psycho.
I know there's a lot of Dig articles. It is turning into talking about
Sarah. I love it. See, now you're going to regret it.
Carlton Cuse and Damon. Lindelof. Yeah, they're both like. We've had this plan for a long time. We've told people to stick around, get through the stuff you thought was lame.
Exactly. And I've been telling people that. I've been told it's like
seven. But the thing is, I don't think people realized how far they were going to go. They were like, we didn't hint at it enough, but it's like they say now if you look back.
What do you mean? It's like.
Well, don't spoil anything because I actually want to watch it.
It's good, yeah. They say it's good.
Dude, I kept joking. My brother and I would joke.
I haven't seen any episodes.
Calling it Monster. I'd call it Monster Island and be like, dude, they're going to take it into space. And Seth's like, yeah, I'm taking it into space. Now, at this point, I believe that they could. After having seen the end of the last season, I'm like, they're totally do it. And I'm like, that's cool. That's another problem-solving thing. When you take a show and then it ends up somewhere you didn't expect it to. You know, like all of a sudden they're in the snow and the whole thing took place in the beach for the first three seasons, and now there's, you know,
you're talking about Saint Elsewhere or something.
Yeah, I'm talking about that season of Saint Elsewhere where all this it started.
It's just the season, it's the last episode.
It started in Antarctica.
It was all in a retarded kid's head.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And no. I think the funniest thing about that is that what's his name? The guy who was the showrunner.
Was that Bochco?
I think it was Bochco, who has had his hands in tons of shows and all the crossovers involved with characters. There's a graph you can look up on the internet that shows the something like hundreds and hundreds of shows on different channels that are all part of this universe that is all made up in this kid's head.
What?
Yes.
All the Bochco stuff?
Yep.
Like the one about the blind cop that still wanted to be a cop?
Not just that, but
Sipowicz?
It goes into Homicide. And because of Homicide, which was linked to Law and Order, like SVU, characters crossed over, stuff like that, all that stuff, it's all a thing in this kid's head. Like, that's what it is, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, Satoshi Kon's good. Like I said, I haven't seen Perfect Blue. I haven't seen Paprika.
I watched about 10 minutes of Paprika, and it was awesome. And I stopped because I missed the very, very beginning.
Yeah, so
I
would throw you off.
I'm going to Netflix it, I think.
Instant Q.
Tokyo Godfathers is really good.
Yeah, I saw that. I haven't seen
Millennium Actress. They say that one's great.
Maybe.
But, Yeah, I think the reason why I like him is this.
It just seems like he goes back to the same sort of general idea about a female protagonist with some kind of psychological thing.
He does that. I think the main thing is this. He makes things that could very well be just a regular live-action drama a lot, but they're such excellent source material and so well-written that it kind of like elevates the genre he chooses to do it in. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Because
a lot of people, If somebody threw you an idea, like, hey, let's make an anime, what do you want to do? Like, you got options. You got giant robots, you got space, you got cowboys, you got, like, you know, you got something like that. Like, oh, let's pick this genre. And, like, if somebody threw it to you, you'd be like, you know what, I want to make a drama about a homeless kid. You'd be like, ah, no thanks. I think there's less giant robots than you do.
Well, I mean, I sometimes feel that way, though. Like, it's like, if it's going to be a cartoon,
why I understand. Make it big yeah, exactly. And awesome, I mean, because you kind of do because you want...
Because
you put it in a certain medium for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I mean, like all the, like just because it's hip to do, it's like now in the States, just because it's like hip because of The Simpsons and Family Guy and American Dad and Cleveland and everything else. Right. It's like
you can get
everything
away with
needs
stuff
to be
cartoons,
animated
though,
and Adult like, Swim and everything.
Content wise that you could not with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think.
A sitcom about the Family Guy, like live action.
Yeah. Wouldn't read.
Because it would be so foul.
Well, it's the foulness, but it's also the consonant non sequiturs and stuff wouldn't work in live action at all. Something like the Venture Brothers, you absolutely need to do as an animation, just because it's like totally a throwback to the Johnny Quest stuff.
Right.
All the set design and everything, it would be really expensive to do that show live action. And it wouldn't work comedy wise. But most, like, yeah, it's like, if it's going to be a cartoon, you got to have some fun stuff.
I think the one place
where... Paranoia Agent, like, has that. Like, Paranoia Agent is totally justifiable as an anime because there's the whole fantasy world where the guy's, like, got the sword and he's fighting back the monster and everything. And it's a parody even of
the anime genre. Films and TV shows that I really don't get is the romantic comedy stuff. There's a kid that I worked with who's a big...
You're talking about like the harem stuff?
No, no, not just that. I'm talking about the PG-13 romantic comedy, oh my goddess stuff.
Okay, yeah.
There was this kid I worked with named Eli who was a big... He was really into anime. He was into a lot of like, you know, he was into movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He was a cool kid. And one time I was like, you know, what's really your favorite kind of, you know, anime stuff? Like, do you like this? And he's like, yeah, I watch all that stuff. He's like, but my favorite is... I guess you'd say it's like romantic comedies. Like they call it a certain thing. And I was like, what? I was like, seriously? Like, how's that interesting? He's like, I don't know.
You can have that intriguing aspect and stuff. but
why would you make a cartoon about that?
I don't know. I mean, you mentioned like the Oh My Goddess one. I've seen like one episode of that. And there's some pretty fantastical, crazy, magical girl garbage going on.
Most of them don't have it though. Yeah. Most of them is about a chick at a school whose parents dropped her off there because they are moving to China to do some sort of like...
Yeah, so she lives by herself. And
she's with her aunt, and there's a kid, you know, there who some people think might have a shorter hand than the other one, you know? And the whole series is about that, and then all their friends who like, oh, Hattori's got a shorter hand. Oh, yeah.
I guess the whole series
is.
It seems like usually they do give it some kind of weird like justification to be that, you know. But I agree with you. I don't really care for that genre myself. I don't mind.
You know what's a retarded show? Is that? I don't know how you pronounce it. The G-E-A-S-S.
G-E-A-S-S?
Yeah.
Oh, Code Geass?
Yeah.
You don't like that show?
Retarded.
The first season?
Retarded.
I've been watching it on Adult
Swim. What a stupid, stupid show.
I like that show.
What a stupid show.
You just don't like it? It's like a fantastical story.
Whatever, you got the robots and stuff, and there's like the British.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You probably just saw the episode that was all about the stupid high school,
right?
I've
seen like 7 episodes of it. But
there is a lot. Apparently the second season, I haven't seen it.
It spends a huge amount of time. People like, what should we do for the drama club? Let's get this guy. Oh, I want to dress up like a furry.
I hate that stuff.
And people are like, oh no, you walked in on me taking a bath, but I'm fully covered. Ah.
Yeah,
it's that stuff constantly. Constantly.
I don't know.
All the guys like look into my eye. It goes, and then, you know, like
I don't know. I have a pretty low tolerance for that stuff, but I guess it's not as low as yours because. I feel like maybe there's like 3 minutes per episode of that, and then the rest is actually kind of like
people feel like there's 3 minutes per episode
of the good stuff,
like that, and it's the credits.
Okay, well I don't know. I don't mind it. I don't know why. I guess I'm more interested in the whole, because every now and again, like every third episode, they'll do a cool robot fight or whatever. I don't know. I've got unbelievably low standards for cartoons. And you have it for action movies, so I think it's we kind of trade off. We pick our things to not care about. I don't know. Then you might not like Gurren Lagann. Gurren Lagann, I like it a lot.
Drama club arguments in it.
There's nothing but drama. No, basically Gurren Lagann's every episode title is something that like the really arrogant guy that's like the older brother. He's not really, they're not brothers, but they call each other like brothers.
As long as it's not anything like Full Metal Alchemist, I won't mind it.
I don't know. It might be a little like that.
Nobody has a ponytail in it, do they?
There may be. I don't know.
Is there hair parted down the middle besides the fact they have a ponytail and it goes like this?
I think it is. It's nothing but that. No, I don't know. The character design
is Edward Elric.
Yes, it's Edward Elric running around. But no, there's like, I don't know, I just like, I don't know, it's fun. I like zany stuff sometimes, and it's not like, I know what you mean, the drama club bullshit zany stuff, I don't care about that at all, I really hate that. I'm just in to see, like, good fights and see how people are going to solve big problems and murder each other and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, off the top.
And I almost like it better when it's in the context of the stuff that has, it's like, oh, talk about drama club for 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden, people go, because like, it is, but it's like the juxtaposition is like more intense that way than if it's just hardcore and serious the whole time.
That's so artificial, though. Let's make what happens later really exciting by boring people to death right now.
Well, I don't know.
They'll be so bored that they'll be stunned when this guy's head explodes later. Yeah, let's do it.
That's true, I guess. I don't know. I'd rather than just being like violent all the way through, because then it's more potent. Like in
Shampoo. I mean, think about like was that called Berserk or whatever?
Berserk.
That was nothing but violence.
Oh yeah, with the giant sword.
And then someone also would like explain their violence.
A little bit.
That was the talking they had. Wasn't drama club stuff. No, it was explaining the violence that they were about to inflict or had.
Berserk's good. I like Berserk.
That was pretty cool. Off the top of my head, when I think about any sort of anime series that I can even stomach, you know, there's a handful, and they're mostly either brutally violent or they have great animation.
Well, yeah, and to be honest, the great animation has kind of been phased out because it's mostly a lot of CG stuff.
What's it called? The thing you gave me, the airships.
Oh, well, that had a lot of
CG.
Last Exile.
That had fantastic, like, the visuals were so good, and it was...
Well, it's
it was unique enough in the setting, in mm-hmm. that a lot of the whole series was set in the air. You know,
yeah,
like,
it was fantastic.
Even when people were hanging out talking about political stuff, they're in the air.
Yeah.
So
there's a window outside. You can see the clouds.
And the thing about the final reveal about the planets and everything.
Yeah.
It's just that's just really very nicely set up and written.
Yeah.
It's not just some boring stuff about countries fighting each other.
Mm-mm.
It's something about planets.
Yeah.
You know, this close to each other fighting each other. They don't know they're there. You know, like that sort of thing. And the visuals are so great, and the pacing was so good in the individual episodes, like the races.
I thought the way that they have races was just
a magnificently made entire series. Bebop, of course, is hands down, you know, my favorite, which is trite, whatever. Generally, though, like most of them you watch, like there's. You have to wade through some crap to get.
You do with some of the better animated stuff even too. It's almost like you talk about the Satoshi Kon stuff, and sometimes it's just kind of slow, but it's good looking.
That was the thing about Paranormal Agent though, is that
it moved at a pretty good clip.
It's creepy, and yeah. what are 13 episodes of it?
Yeah, it's quick.
You know, like it's quick too. So
there's
no
clip show. There is actually, I think there's sort of a clip show in one of them,
but. It's half the size of a regular anime.
And you're guaranteed at the end of just about every episode, somebody's going to get hit in the back with a bat.
By something that shouldn't be creepy at all, which is a kid on roller skates.
But you know, you hear that sound, and that's all the way back to the Kubrick.
It's frightening.
To the Kubrick,
whatchamacallit?
What was that called?
You've seen Paranormal Agent, right?
What the hell was that movie called? The Kubrick movie I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
With Jack Nicholson. No, with Jack Nicholson.
The Shining.
The Shining. Yeah. The kid's big wheel on the carpet. That's that sound, you know, that creepiness from that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of got into the whole cartoon thing when Sci-Fi Channel used to air the stuff in the 90s, and so
Have you ever tried watching the Street Fighter series?
No, I think I've seen bits of it, but it looks really ridiculous.
So
and stupid.
An episode's 22 minutes, right?
Yeah,
21 minutes is Ken of each episode mm-hmm. is Ken showing Ryu where he trains.
This is where I train.
This is my expensive training facility in which I train extensively. And Ryu's like, oh, we should get in on some fighting action. He's like, yes, we will shortly. And then...
They both sound like they're on Speed Racer.
Yeah, totally. And then at the end, or like somewhere in the middle, they have a fight with Guile or mm-hmm. Blanca or whatever, which lasts like 10 seconds because most of the fight is beforehand Guile going like, I just want to warn you that I'm about to inflict a serious amount of pain on both of you and you're both going to wish you were dead and rotting in hell instead of feeling the pain and the bruises and the blood that's going to be just pouring down on you.
Have you seen the
and then they fight for like 2 seconds because Guile just wastes both of them. Mm-hmm. And then like afterwards it's Guile explaining what he just did to them. I did that because you stood up and you said something when you shouldn't have and this is my bar and something something. It is awful. It is awful.
Yeah, I wouldn't...
I'd rather watch the movie.
I think I'd watch that. Raul Julian, the suit that gives him CPR.
Too bad that suit wasn't real. Yeah. It'd still be with us.
Would cure his cancer, whatever he died from.
He died of a heart attack.
Oh, damn. Well, yeah.
That suit would have really helped him out.
That's mean. No,
I think he saw the first cut of the movie, and he's like, oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Get the bison suit.
I think I'm,
What if when it woke him up, the first thing he did was try to choke somebody out, like in the movie? It wakes him up, and he does that thing where his eyes pop open really wide, he goes, ah! Tries to choke out the nearest person to him.
Oh my gosh.
What if the first thing someone did when you were resuscitated was to try to murder the person next to you?
Like a coma
puppy. What was I doing? Oh yeah!
Was fighting for love. No, so I mean, I don't know. That's the like Akira and like Record of Lotus War and a lot of those OAVs, you know, like the 6-episode type shows
right.
are things that like I kind of just remember and I have like sort of an odd fondness for.
Akira's great. I'm talking about series. I'm talking about like, you know, series.
Well, a lot of
they're going to do a live action Akira.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That'll be weird. It might work. I just watched Ninja Scroll a couple days ago.
Ninja Scroll.
I thought I in the back of my head I'd always had this sense that like it had a lot more like perverse like rape crap.
Not
but it's
much.
Really not.
Yeah, there's
not
a couple scenes
terrible.
Of it.
I mean, apparently the Kawajiri guy is the guy who does a lot of that stuff, right. And like Biohunter, I remember seeing that on Action Network years ago, and that's pretty creepy.
In terms of movies, you know, the Vampire Hunter movies were decent. Which one I really enjoyed, even though I didn't really get it at all, was something Wolf Brigade.
Oh, Jinro, the Wolf Brigade.
Whatever it is, yeah. That was excellent, and mostly because it looked fantastic.
Yeah, it looks really good. Well animated. that's sort of based on like a series, and it's mostly live action stuff. Yeah, there's live action stuff. I've heard that live action ones are pretty miserable. It's Mamoru Oshii, right, who did the Ghost in the Shell movies. I don't think he directed Jinro, though, so I think
really good.
He directed the Pat Labor movies, too.
I saw, like, what was that one, Appleseed or something like that?
Appleseed. There's the CG one, and then there's the old one.
The CG one sucked.
Yeah, I didn't really like either of them. I just watched the old one recently.
Yeah, a handful. I mean, I gotta say, I've seen more things that I liked with anime than that I didn't. Because, I mean, really,
you can kind of pick and you can almost tell by looking at, like, a cover. And, like, if the cover's, like, some bug-eyed, like 13-year-old girl that is designed to look like an 8-year-old girl.
What's funny is that
smiling, then you know this is not for me.
At Figurios, you know, they have a lot in there. They have a lot of stuff. And most of it's like a picture of somebody.
If they have Ergo Proxy or Technolize, you should check it out. Those are good shows.
They have one hentai-looking thing there, which is the funniest, because they put the thing that said, they put like the word, the sticker that says foreign on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it right over this girl's crotch.
Oh my god.
Where a tentacle is obviously.
Oh my god.
Getting her? That's like right on the cover, you know?
It's getting her.
And it's funny because, like, right in the middle of all the, like My Neighbor Totoro or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
And right in the middle of that and, like Howl's Moving Castle. All the Miyazaki films. Is something with this girl getting finger banged by a tentacle.
That's terrible. That's awful. Do they have Ergo Proxy or Technolize there?
I haven't seen Technolize there.
Ergo Proxy and Technolize—they're both dark shows, and they're kind of creepy.
I saw a couple episodes on something, and visually it looked brilliant. But I've read about it, and it sounds super boring.
It's sort of slow, but I don't know if you can. I like that. I like the first episode of it, and it looked great. Yeah, it's kind of like if they create an effective world and the kind of story if you. You know, sometimes you're in the mood for a certain kind of story, sometimes you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I usually close a night with something like that because it's dark and it's quiet and it's calm, it's peaceful, and you just kind of watch it. And it's, I don't know, I like it.
You know, I think they need to do more stuff set, you know, I mean, considering how much...
They do a lot of steampunk
time.
And
how much film
punk.
Time has been spent by Americans and Italians and whatever on Westerns.
Yeah.
I think there should be more animes about the
American
samurai period.
West, or, oh, the,
about the samurai period.
Maybe.
Because every time I see any of them, it brings me back to... I have to honestly tell myself, and I forget this movie all the time, I have to honestly tell myself that Yojimbo, I think, is one of the best films I've ever seen in my life. It really is one of the top five films I've ever seen. I love it.
Wow.
And I've seen it 20 times. I had to watch it repeatedly for one film class, and I had to write like 4 essays on just Yojimbo.
Wow.
In one class. And we actually had to write at one point an 8-page essay on a 20-second piece of film. You pick any 20 seconds.
Within the movie.
Any 20 seconds
did you pick in Yojimbo?
It was a scene where he was like walking the town after he... After he had got the crap beat out of him,
yeah.
He was nursed back to health, and first comes back into town. You know, like
the badass returns.
It really is an absolute perfect. And the greatest thing, you know, people talk about how, like, you know, in a lot of cases, actor doesn't matter. You know, you can put Mickey Rourke or Nicolas Cage in a role, and it doesn't really matter if the movie's good enough or bad enough. Yojimbo is near perfect because.
It's got
the story's great,
whatever.
But yeah, Toshiro Mifune or whatever, however you say his name.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Always awesome. He was great in
Stray
Seven
Dog.
Samurai, everything straight. You know, he's fantastic. The guy was just like he exuded the exact like you know the man with no name thing that Clint Eastwood did was perfect for the Westerns.
Yeah,
this guy was absolutely perfect for everything he was ever in for that because he sat there and he looked like he was brooding no matter what.
Yes.
Even when he was like being happy.
Uh-huh.
He's sitting like he's brooding. Happily.
He's still pissed off about something.
He looks perfect for the role, and his acting is great because most of Yojimbo he spends sitting there talking to some old people who are like, "Hey, this guy's doing this, and this guy's doing this, and the sides are fighting each other." And he's like, "Interesting, interesting." give me some more sake.
Yeah.
And they keep just, like, giving him sake. He sits there and drinks more sake, and some guys come in, and they're like, hey, old man, you know, we're celebrating. We just did this. And they're like, what are you looking at? And he's like, oh, nothing, you know, just drinking his sake. And you know that he's going to murder them later.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's just awesome. I love Yojimbo so much.
No, it's good stuff.
It really is great. Have you seen Yojimbo?
If you've seen Last Man Standing,
it's Last Man Standing. It's a fistful of dollars. It's the samurai or the gunslinger or whatever that rolls into town and
plays both sides
against each other. There's two rival gangs.
Think that you can't figure out if he's an outlaw hero or an anti-hero.
Exactly. And it doesn't really matter in the end because he is an anti-hero.
It doesn't really matter.
And
then he gets the fuck out, just like Godzilla. He just goes so long.
But first, he destroys everybody.
Yeah, he takes care of business.
And the coolest thing about Yojimbo is, you know, like, fistful like dollars
real to sword fighting.
The guy with the pump action gun. In this, they got the guy with the pistol.
Yeah, exactly. That's all
and
you need.
And he comes back from it. He's like, hey, I went to America. They're like, what'd you bring back? He's like, this.
Just like in those episodes of Champloo where the guy
reference
to that.
And the sweetest thing is, like, at the end, he fights this dude with a gun. Like, how is a swordsman supposed to fight a dude with a gun? And he's just like, you know, he does it. He rushes up at him. He just chops him, dude. He just gets him, you know?
Yes.
And they did the cool thing where, you know, Fistful of Dollars is great, too. They do the same thing where, like, Fistful of Dollars, they introduce the man with no name by... He's always got his right arm in his poncho. He doesn't bring it out. He does a whole bunch of things that it should take two hands to do with just his left hand.
Mm-hmm.
He writes something. He gets something out. He puts his cigar in. He lights it with one hand. He's like,
yeah.
Like, why is he doing that? It's because his hand's on his gun the whole time. Exactly. He's waiting for somebody to step to him. You know,
in Yojimbo, he's kind of always got his hand like this, right?
He never has his hands as arms through his sleeves. His sleeves hang there. And his hands just sit inside there like this. They're like tucked into his belt. Like
that's, I remember that now.
Yeah, and he's just always like that. And then somebody walks up to him and he yanks his sword out and just like that. You know, it's awesome.
It's very cool.
It's really cool. There's just something great about Yojimbo.
No,
Kurosawa's other stuff is brilliant also. Ron is brilliant.
I like it. It's long, though.
Very long. Rashomon really is fantastic. Seven Samurai is utterly brilliant. I might like the Western a little bit more, but nothing compares to Yojimbo to me. There's just something
I think I'd probably
absolutely
agree
perfect
with you.
About it. Just, it's like a crime film. It's like a little crime film, you know?
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
That said, I mean, I've got a handful of other Samurai animes. I've got one called Peacemaker that's sort of based around... Sometimes they kind of get pseudo-historical, you know, right. Where they kind of... And then, like, you know, the Rurouni Kenshin anime series is based on sort of samurai stuff. Some of those are good. I don't know. For me, the period is just... I don't know. I like it still, but it's not my favorite. Visually, it's just not my favorite. It doesn't have as much to offer unless they really explore it more. And it seems like it's maybe the genre wise I'm just not finding the right stuff. There's probably a couple other good samurai shows I just haven't seen.
The great thing about the samurai thing and the western thing, since they're both set in the same period, usually like 1700s, 1800s, whatever, westerns aren't,
you get the collision, of course,
but it's not just that. It's that since they're about machismo and they're about braggadocio and they're about, like, you know, what it takes to not just to survive, but to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lawlessness and, you know, people skirting both sides of the law, whatever. The lawlessness is really the thing that draws people into it, because you got a big government back somewhere that doesn't really care about this
or
area so
just
much.
Corrupted or
and
whatever.
And so you have people who do care about good at all, and there's nobody to back them up.
They're the outlaws.
Right.
The outlaw heroes.
No, that's not... I mean, not so much. There's a hero who does that. The outlaw hero is somebody who's, you know, still trying to look out for himself a little bit, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Whatever you made up. I don't know
what it is. Yeah, it was what I made up.
So the idea is that it comes down to people standing off against each other constantly.
Yeah.
And who backs down, who doesn't. And it comes down to one simple thing, which is... who can draw a gun faster, or who's slightly better at sword fighting. And it simplifies it so much down to that thing.
Yeah,
and whether or not that's important, and whether or not that makes you a better man or whatever, it's what you do with it, you know? Like, Yojimbo, the guy's getting himself more money, he's playing both sides of each other. In the end, he's helped out a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
He really has, and then he bails, you know?
That's what you do.
He found a way to satiate his bloodlust, to get a bunch of money, and to make his conscience feel okay because he saved a bunch of lives or whatever. Yes.
くつばめ振り向きざまおはよう声かけられそろそろいかねば性のとこ仕上げそれで一体どちらまでそれはそれはそれはそれは時に早春そう旅の途中つまり僕ら西へ下りフライサムライ一人くらい道連れ魂ストライフライ翼広がりしたらフライつまり僕ら西へ下りフライサムライ一人くらい道連れ魂ストライフライ翼広がりしたらフライいつか旅に出ることになるとは生まれた時から知っていましたランドセルしょった小さな背中に誰かが呼ぶ声聞こえてましたタコ帰りの夕焼け小道懐かしさにまどろみ歩く日々きっとずっと昔いた自分探し呼び覚ましやがて始まる旅本をめくって歴史を紐解くよりも
Yeah, you'd know a lot about betrayal, wouldn't you?
I would, being that I betray people.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.